This is Listen Lakeland, the show that keeps you up to date on all the things that make our city a great place to live, work, and play. Today's host is the Community Engagement Director at Lakeland Now, a community-supported local news organization dedicated to cultivating civic engagement in Lakeland through freely accessible, locally driven news. She's a graduate of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and serves on the boards of Lakeland Vision and the Friends of Colt Creek State Park. Please welcome your host, Trinity Lorino. Welcome to the good life.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Trinity Lorino, and it's great to be hosting this month's episode of Listen Lakeland. This show is an extension of Lakeland Vision. For over two decades, Lakeland Vision has been a voice for citizens of Lakeland, working with community stakeholders to create a bright future for our city. So today I wanted to start things off a little bit differently than usual. This is only my third time hosting this, and I guess I'm getting fancy, maybe getting a little more comfortable, not sure. But there's this poem, and it's a short one, so bear with me, but I keep coming back to. It's by the Scottish poet Wendell Berry. It's called The Peace of Wild Things. And it begins, "When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and what my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in the beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free." I mention this, I promise it's not a non sequitur. I mention it because today my guests are here to tell us where we might find a little bit of that piece of wild things. And if, like me, you're spending too much time on social media and too much time watching the news and maybe despairing of the world a little bit, this is a great place to rest, relax, and find a little bit of that centeredness. So pleased today, to be joined by Scott Duncan, Park Ranger for Colt Creek State Park, and Paula Dockery. And if you've lived in Lakeland for any amount of time, you probably know the name Paula Dockery. Paula Dockery was a state senator representing this area for 10 years, and before that she was a state house representative. And she continues her commitment to the community with many things, but among them she serves as the president of the Friends of Colt Creek State Park. So thank you for being here, and welcome to both Paula.
Great to be here.
And Scott.
Absolutely.
Great. So a little bit of a tonal shift. As I mentioned, so Colt Creek State Park is a beautiful park that is just about 45 minutes out of the center of Lakeland, technically still in Lakeland. And it's only one of two state parks in all of Polk County, right?
Three.
Oh, three. Okay. Yep. All right. So corrected. One of three state parks in Polk County. But Scott, can you tell us generally about the park? Like, what would a visitor find upon coming to Colt Creek?
Sure, absolutely. So Colt Creek State Park is about 5,067 acres. So pretty roughly. Large state park, roughly. There's a point in there somewhere. 5,067 point something. But a relatively large state park on the very northwest corner of Polk County. So technically in the city of Lakeland still. But it's a real beautiful slice of just old Florida. So people can come out to the park. They can see what Florida used to be like before everything was built up, before there was a lot of building. It's just that real serene place to come out and just enjoy nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because that was really my first reaction. I was born in Tampa and grew up in and around Tampa in, let's say, the late 70s through the 80s. And coming to visit Colt Creek, it totally reminded me of my childhood growing up in Florida, where you might still run into like a Florida panther back, on the creek and, playing among the cypress knees on the creek. So it is definitely like a slice of old Florida. Now, Paula, this has been something of a passion project for you. Can you give us a little bit of like the history of the park, how it came to be and how you came to be so involved with it?
Absolutely. When I was in the legislature, I chaired the Environmental Protection Committee, during part of my time there, and some folks from the Polk County Board of County Commissioners came to visit me, and they said there's this great piece of property in Polk County, and since the park system didn't really have anything on the west side of Polk County, the other parks were on the far east side, they would like the state to consider purchasing these 5,000 and something acres and either use it as a park or water management district lands or fish and wildlife lands. And so I was very excited about it. And they had said that the owner had somebody interested in buying land and developing it, which was pretty interesting because it's really in the green swamp, not particularly developable, but the owner maintained development rights, even though it was an area of critical state concern. So the county's concern was they didn't want to see this land developed and they didn't have the money to purchase it. So they asked if I would get the state to take a look at it. And I did, and they did, and they were really excited about it because it adjoined other state lands, so it made for a great wildlife corridor and other water recharge purposes. So the state decided to buy the land and paid quite a bit for it. It was a major investment. And then the various management agencies kind of fought over, would it be a park? Would it be water management district lands? Would it be used for fishing and hunting? And the park system won out. And so it became the 160th state park. And now we're up to what, Scott? 170?
176. We just added another one to the system. So 176 okay. Now.
So oh, wow. Colt Creek was the 160th park. And it was meant to really service the west side of the county, particularly Lakeland, the population center of the county. So that's how Colt Creek was born.
That's awesome. It's so great to have that protected corridor through the green swamp to make sure even as like the growth in Florida is booming, like you said, that area doesn't get developed there. But can you tell us a little bit about the Friends? What are the Friends of Colt Creek State Park?
So when the park first came into being, nobody knew about it. It was the best kept secret. And our first big user group were equestrians. So people with horses who were looking for undisturbed lands to that the state would allow them to come on to ride. So that was our first big user group. And after a couple years, the state had not invested much money into, because they paid a lot for it, but they didn't have a lot of money to invest in developing it. So we were trying to get more and more people to know that the park existed and to come out to it. So we started a 501c3 non-for-profit organization called Friends of Colt Creek State Park. Many state parks in the state of Florida have these, we're called CSOs, citizen support organizations, and we exist to recruit volunteers, to raise money, to help the park either with financial needs or volunteer needs or putting on events, a lot of different purposes. So the Friends of Colt Creek State Park was born in, I think the state purchased land in 2006. It opened in 2007. I left the legislature in 2012 and the Friends were born in 2014.
Yeah. And Scott, how has it been working with the Friends for you?
It's been amazing. We all know how state budgets are, and there's limited things that we can do as state employees. So having an organization like the Friends, a nonprofit organization who can raise funds, who can advocate for us, it's been incredible. Without the Friends, the park wouldn't be half of what it is. To me, kind of the way I look at Friends organizations are the state really puts the nuts and bolts and they kind of bake the cake, but the CSO and the Friends are the icing on top of the cake. They just kind of make it extra special and sweet.
The baker in me loves that metaphor.
We're the icing.
You're the icing. That's everybody's favorite part, right? Now, and actually the Friends just completed a really big project. Do you want to talk about the horse pavilion?
Sure. We're an interesting Friends group because a lot of state parks are in wealthy areas or on the coast where they have a lot of visitation. So they're able to raise, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. To us, a very big project is in the tens of thousands of dollars. So we, like I said, the equestrians were our first big user group, and we have this beautiful part of the park that's set aside for primitive equestrian camping. So people come with their horses, and the horses are out tied up or they build little corrals, I guess you would call them, and there were no bathrooms, there were no anything out there, but it is one of the most beautiful, pristine spots in the park. And I went out to visit some of my friends who were out there camping one day, and they all kind of grabbed some chairs and were in one person's little spot. And then it started raining, and I said, there's nowhere out here for you which is protected. And one of the ladies said, yeah, we really could use a pavilion. So we decided that we would raise the money to put a pavilion out there so that the community who camps together could eat together, could do whatever they wanted in that spot. And then the state, who's been a great partner, and of course the Scott is park manager and his staff are great partners, they decided to put a bathroom out there, a very basic bathroom, no showers, nothing like that. And so we decided to put the pavilion out along with that, and we've just, you know, ratcheted the campground up a notch. And we had to raise, this happened right before COVID hit. So we made a one-year project into a two-year project, but we raised close to $50,000, which was a little more than we needed. But we were afraid with COVID and the price of lumber going up that we need to raise more than we had originally intended. And so we got that done, and then we had a little money left over. So we paid to put a sidewalk from our pavilion to the restroom, and then we paid for a kiosk so we can put up notices of things that were going on. And then Scott threw in two grills for us, and then we decided we put in some picnic tables. So all in all, we have this wonderful little facility out there, and that's because of the friends. So I thank my board, and I thank everybody who gave money to help make Colt Creek just a little bit more sweet.
Yeah, but such a nice improvement, especially because it does get a lot of horseback riders, a lot of equestrians really love Colt Creek. And kind of speaking about that, you do have like a new program coming to Colt Creek, don't you?
We do. We have a concessionaire that we're working with, and they should be opening soon to offer guided horseback riding tours in the park. So if you don't have your own horse, if you've never been on a horse before, you're going to be able to come out to Colt Creek State Park and go with an experienced guide, somebody who's familiar with the park and somebody who's familiar with horseback riding, and get out onto the trail on horseback. And if you've never experienced Colt Creek on horseback, it's something you just absolutely have to do. It's incredible.
I think this is going to be such a great offering for the people who live in the city to get out and be able to experience it. I mean, you live in Lakeland, you know, chances are you probably don't have a horse unless you're like, you know, more on the south or north side, you know, and it's a beautiful place to experience on horseback. Now, you already have other concessionaires working in the park, right? So people can come and they can rent kayaks and canoes.
Right. So we do have some amenities that people can rent now. So Paula mentioned the Primitive Equestrian Campground. The state put in 2018 a full facility RV and tent campground. So people can come out in an RV or a tent and use that facility. But we also rent canoes and kayaks as well through the state. So you can come to the ranger station and rent a canoe and kayak and go out kayaking or fishing on one of our lakes. We had vending machines in the park if you want a snack or drink or something like that. So yeah, we've got all kinds of things.
Oh, and the washing machines.
Yep. Yeah. That's another thing for the friends.
Provided the washer and dryer in the RV campground.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you also sell ice too.
And we sell ice. Yep. Yeah. We try and do whatever we can because we are pretty remote. So it's not like you can just go down the street to the gas station and pick things up. So those are all kinds of things that either the park staff told us was a need, or we heard from users in the park that was a need. But the campground coming in to the park was a game changer. And maybe Scott wants to talk about that.
Before the campground came in, we were just this kind of quiet, tucked away little park, and we're still quiet and serene. But now word is starting to get out about the park where you can actually come out and experience the park in more of a long-term way, not just coming out for the day.
And you're also going to make it a little more comfortable for those who don't want to set up their own tent, right? Like, right. This is the other big thing that's coming along with the horse concessionaire.
Right, yeah. Another big thing we're doing, and something that's gaining in popularity, is glamping, or another name for it is carefree camping. They're like canvas-style tents that are already set up, ready to go. Everything is taken care of for you. So that comes with a queen pillow top mattress, comes with a coffee maker, climate control, lighting. Everything's going to be set up, ready to go for you. Just call, book, and then you're ready to go.
So all the creature comforts.
Everything.
While you go look at some creatures.
That's right.
So speaking of that, what kind of animals are we going to see if we come out to Colt Creek State Park? I know Paula has a wildlife story.
I was driving through the park one day, and I saw the usual, the birds and the turtles and the alligators, and our resident photographer had even taken a picture of a bear out there, which I did not see. But I was driving and I saw something very unusual. It kind of slithered across the road in front of me, and it was the middle of the day, middle of the afternoon. And I said, what was that? And just as I got closer, I looked over to the other side of the road, and crouched under a tree was a beautiful bobcat. And it was out in the middle of the day, which is kind of surprising. And it just didn't run away. It slithered across and then just sat on the other side of the road. So I was telling everybody I saw that I saw this bobcat, and they all, you know, I don't think too many people believe me. But now I think there have been quite a few people who have sighted Mr. Bobcat.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it a mister?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll get close enough to ask.
We'll just call him Bob. Worked either way.
So, but what else might we see if we're out there on the trails?
So there's all kinds of wildlife out there. I'm lucky that I'm out there every single day. So I see all kinds of wildlife. I see deer almost every single day. Sometimes, you know, people complain that the traffic was really bad, this and that. Well, sometimes I have to wait for deer to cross the road. So I'm very lucky in that regard. I have seen plenty of bobcats, bear.
You saw a bear?
You've seen
a
bear?
Well, I saw one on camera.
Okay.
I did see one on camera. I haven't seen one in Colt Creek in person. So actually, at a different park, my interview for this position, a bear interrupted my interview, and I think that's why I got the job ultimately. But that's a whole nother story.
Okay, I think I want to hear that story.
Otters. Oh, yep. Yeah. Yep. Otters.
Alligator, snakes, owls, every kind of bird you can
imagine.
Every
kind of bird, yep. Audubon came out and did a bird survey when the park first opened and counted 150 different bird species and 74 butterfly species. So tons and tons of birds, tons of butterflies.
So what should a visitor who's maybe not as experienced on a nature hike be aware of?
Gotcha. So, well, I can make a plug right there for some of our interpretive programming.
Okay.
So we do plenty of interpretive programs. So if you're not familiar, kind of not sure what to do, how to get started, look us up on the Friends of Colt Creek Facebook page or the Florida State Parks website, and we have a list of all of our interpretive programs. So we do ranger talks. We do ranger guided hikes. The rangers have done talks on snakes, owls, bats, butterflies, all kinds of different wildlife. But if that's kind of not your thing, you just want to get out into the park, we have trail maps. So just stop at the ranger station, grab a trail map from us. We can point in the right direction to go. And just stick to the trails. Everything is well marked. Just don't venture off the trail too much, you know, if you're just trying to keep safe, and just follow the trail markers, and it should be pretty straightforward.
We might want to mention that the trails are multi-use, which means that if you're riding a bike or you're walking or you're on a horseback, you're sharing with the other users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, you mentioned the programs at the park, and I know I've been dying to actually get out for one of the full moon hikes. Do you know when the next one coming up is?
We just had one last week, so we try to do them once a month. We tend to not do them during the summer because it's hot and muggy out. So I don't know the date of the next one, but we will have one. We try to do one once a month on the full moon, and those have been very popular because you're out with a ranger, out on the full moon in the woods, so it's really something neat. And something we just did for the first time last week also, we did a full moon horseback ride. Ooh. So our equestrian users got together and they had a full moon ride as well. So that was really interesting.
And I imagine you can probably see a lot more wildlife at night, even though the park is serene and secluded and all of that. I mean, so many of the species are nocturnal and, you know, definitely more active at night.
Right. You'll see, a whole different side of the park and different wildlife at night. So sometimes bobcats will come out at night. We'll hear owls hooting. On the full moon hike, sometimes we'll get to see the owls. The deer like to come out at night also. Fireflies, that's something a lot of people don't see anymore.
No, we had them here.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yep. Now I have to go.
You have to come.
I have to go. I miss fireflies. Yeah, I might be one of the first people to sign up for the glamping. But and I know one of the other popular programs has been, is it Candy the Snake?
Candy the Corn Snake.
Candy the Corn Snake. Yep. Yeah. Yep. This has been really popular among kids, right?
Yes, absolutely. Or cocoa with candy too. Uh-huh. So who knew? But people love to come out and visit with our corn snake. We have one of our interpreters has a corn snake or a red rat snake. And we give people, hey, come out, check out the snake, learn about snakes. But we'll also give you some hot cocoa too. So people love it and learn about snakes.
That's awesome. We haven't actually touched on the butterfly garden yet, talking about all the wildlife that we have.
We have a small but very hardworking group of volunteers who keep up our butterfly garden. And we like to think we have so many varieties because of our work, but I think they're finding them in other parts of the park. But it's a beautiful little spot in between two of the lakes on a part of the park that is not the main pavilion area, nor is it the near the equestrian campground. But it's a lovely spot, and we see people walking through, and we try and identify the different plants. Every plant that we have in there is something that benefits butterflies, attracts butterflies, but also it has to be native to the state of Florida. And if we inadvertently get a plant and plant it in there that isn't native, then one of the experts at the park will tell us that needs to go and out it goes. So we're trying to keep it the real Florida.
Mm-hmm. So how can people volunteer? How can they find out how to volunteer with the Friends or actually even with the park itself?
Well, if you want to volunteer with the Friends, you can go to our website and become a friend of Colt Creek State Park, and we'll put you on our mailing list, or you can sign up to be a volunteer through that website, or you can go to our Friends page, which is very active, and we put all the events coming up, whether it's a Friends event or a park event, because we're one in the same, although we're not officially employees of the park, nor do we tell the park what to do. We just help the park in its mission. And so you can volunteer with the Friends through our two online methods. And then if you wanted to volunteer directly with the park.
Yeah, if you wanted to volunteer directly with the park, you would just reach out to our volunteer coordinator. You can give us a call at the ranger station, just ask to speak with the volunteer coordinator, or go online to floridastateparks.org. And there's a drop-down menu, says get involved, become a volunteer, and fill out an application. And that also goes directly to our volunteer coordinator.
So what kind of things would a volunteer do at the park?
All kinds of things. We can, as park rangers, we are jacks of all trades. We do a little bit of everything. So everything that you can possibly imagine that goes on and happens in a state park, that's what park rangers do. And also, that's what volunteers can do also. So we have volunteers that help run the ranger station, answering the phones, checking in campers. We have people like to go out and trim trails. We have some people who are great at construction activities, so help with carpentry, plumbing, electrical, that type of thing. We also have volunteers who like to interpret the resources, so like to come out and lead a program potentially. So there's all kinds of opportunities out there at the park.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't one of our volunteers have a commercial driver's license and volunteer to drive the tram?
Yeah. The Friends provided a tram, and when our tram driver's available, we have free tram rides around the park. And considering that it's 5,000 acres, it's kind of nice to do it that way.
So just so you know, if you have a commercial driver's license,
we could use you. Yeah, yes.
You could always use someone else to volunteer to drive the tram. And it's so much fun to ride around.
Or to work in the butterfly garden or to help on mm-hmm. events.
Yeah.
And we sell swag.
Yes. And it's cute swag, too.
It's cute swag.
It's very cute. Just a little shameless plug. But, okay. Oh, Scott, I know what I was going to ask you. Oh, actually, a couple of questions still for you. Sure. We haven't talked at all about the fishing tournament.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
Nope. So yeah, we have a fishing tournament coming up in March. So it's two parts. Of course, people like to come out and fish, but it's also resource management as well. So what we want to do is remove an invasive species, tilapia, from our lakes. So of course, as a state park, we try to keep things as native as possible. We want just native wildlife in the park. So we're working with the Friends. And we're going to have a fishing tournament for people to come out and get a prize if you catch the most tilapia to get them out of our lakes.
Yes. And that's in April.
April. What did I say?
March.
April. Sorry.
Do you know the date? Or sorry, you don't have it down.
No. Okay. Yeah, sometime in April. We're working on that.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Okay. And then we have another new event coming up in May.
We do.
Yeah.
We're going to bring some tunes to the park.
Oh, this is
right on
fun.
The lake. So come and join us on May 14th for some local Lakeland musicians who are coming out to entertain us, and bring your lounge chairs and bring a picnic lunch, and we'll have some things out there and maybe some games, and just have a great day out at the park and enjoy the nature and the beautiful scenery around you while you're enjoying some tunes.
How does one become a park ranger? Or park manager is your official title.
Right, yeah, I'm park manager, but I'm also a ranger as well. So there's several different ways you can become a park ranger. There's no official degree or program that you need to become a park ranger, because as I said, we're jacks of all trades. So we really look for people with a variety of different experiences and skill sets. The best way, I always tell people, is to volunteer. And I'm not just saying that as a plug because I want people to come out and work for free. But it really is the best way. I started out as a volunteer at a state park. Many of my staff started out as volunteers at a state park. It's a way for you to become familiar with the park and see if it's something you want to continue in. And it gives us an idea also of what you're all about. So to me, really, volunteering is one of the best ways to do that.
And how long have you been at Colt Creek State Park now?
I've been here just over 6 years.
And how long have you been a park ranger?
I've been with the Florida State Parks for 15 years now.
15 years. So clearly this is a career path that you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's something that I got into right after college and just stuck with it. And I love it. It's been an amazing experience. I just love it.
And it's been a good fit. We've loved having you.
Thank you.
Scott, tell them what your degree was in.
So my degree is actually in marine biology.
And you came from a beach park.
I came from a beach park. Kind of my story. I was talking to Trinity earlier. And I studied marine biology in school. And I'm a native Floridian from West Palm. And I was graduating from college soon and not really sure what I wanted to do. So the school kind of encouraged internships and volunteerism. So thought, yeah, I love this state park that's right around the road. Me and my buddy used to go snorkeling there, and a high school marine biology teacher took us out there on the mud flats to go explore, and we found all kinds of cool horseshoe crabs and egg cases and that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I'll go volunteer at the state park. So after graduation, I was still working there or still volunteering there, and the volunteer coordinator came up to me and said, hey, there's potential job opportunity. Would you be interested? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, of course. And so I interviewed and got the job as part-time, and I thought, hey, I'm going to be out there rescuing manatees and counting fish and all kinds of stuff.
Was this the interview that got interrupted with the bear, or was it the interview for the... Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now I want to know about the bear story.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, this was when I first got into the Park Service, and so my first day, they hand me the keys, and say, oh, I'm going to go do all this cool stuff. Well, here's your scrub brush. Go clean the bathrooms. Well, okay, I found out, hey, this isn't so bad, and I enjoyed it. Eventually became a park ranger, an assistant park manager at that park. Then I was there for a while and did that, and it was great. And like, you know what, I want to do something different. I like all kinds of Florida habitat, not just the salty ones. So maybe I'll try something different. I decided to see if I can come out to Colt Creek. And so I was interviewing for this position that I currently have at our district office, which is in Apopka, which is in bear territory. And I was interviewing, and there was a window behind us, and all of a sudden a bear walks by as I'm nervous and sweating in my interview. And the interviewers stop the interview and call everybody in. Oh, look, check out this bear. And the bear lays down behind the window. And so they're calling everybody in, and I'm nervous. And so I'm still convinced that's why I got the job. But
It was a sign.
Good omen. You got the bear sign of approval.
Right.
Gave him a little thumbs up. All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today. And I hope everybody listening learned a little bit of something about this slice of natural Florida that is so close to our own backyards here. And I hope you'll go out and hit the trails in Colt Creek. So thank you for tuning in to Listen Lakeland. Your feedback is valued, and we encourage you to head over to www.lakelandvision.org to participate in our monthly survey related to today's show topic. I said, welcome to the good life.
Listen Lakeland is brought to you as a collaborative project between Lakeland Vision, the City of Lakeland, and Hall Communications. Truly a community working together to keep you informed on the many things that make Lakeland such an amazing city. Thank you for being with us.